You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
I feel so bad for Billy Corbin. It must be so frustrating to care about something so deeply, to bring about change so much.
Jesus
and
Christ.
Be told at every turn, your voice doesn't matter, and those that matter won't make the change because they just don't care about winning and bringing the program back.
Oh, Jesus. Nothing happened yesterday, by the way. Not a single thing.
Must be so frustrating for him to work so hard and feel that ultimately your passion is met with indifference. I wish I could relate. I can't.
Every incumbent won.
I know, right?
By a landslide.
And a 2 a.m. one.
Everything. A landslide.
Everything.
And you know what? I'm going to say this. I fuck with Francis Suarez.
Oh, good Lord.
Good Lord.
Be careful, Mike.
I fuck with him for now until he becomes like a white supremacist. Inevitably to curry favor with a base that
then you stop
is
with
my
him.
Mind. Yeah, I'll stop with him. Okay. But this guy is hilarious. He is a Miami bro. Totally powerless.
Are we doomed?
In Miami?
Just in general.
I mean, we could have Abraham Lincoln in his prime. We're still going to be underwater in 20 years.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, Lincoln can't stop climate change.
So we already have the Big Suey.
Thanks, Roy.
He can stop slavery, but you can't stop climate change.
Did you know that he invented the choke slam?
I believe I do. Yeah. He was a wrestler.
I think, Francis
Honest
Ward.
Abe?
That was his ring name. Yeah. Francis Suarez. I just find the guy hilarious. I'm sorry. I can't quit him. A Miami bro that is in a largely ceremonial position that is obsessed with crypto. That's right up my alley.
I thought we started.
No.
The thing is that we're always talking in like our
never stop talking.
But it's not just because if we just kind of leaned into the microphone and kind of were casual like this, you would
and
never think that we were doing show.
Can't talk
if,
casually no, into a microphone.
But that's what I'm saying.
It's
is that like you know you're always you've got your broadcasting posture, your broadcasting voice, and everything sounds like show.
Well, you never know what hits.
So is this on? Or this is not. Have we started yet?
No.
Did Honest Abe make the show?
I don't think so.
Stugatz is always looking wherever we are in life. Stugatz is always
pigeonhole
in. Stugatz is always looking for the windows of where can I arrive with slapping my hands together and being like, ta-da, I got the joke. All Stugatz cared about and asked about is, does my Honest Abe line get in?
Yeah. No.
You're on to me.
We can't put I bleeps with Francis in the show. That'll never make the show. Obviously.
Never. We're clearly not on air right now. These are not things that we would say publicly.
And I want to quote at Billy Corbin's expense and draw comparisons to what he tells me week in and week out.
You were laughing as all of this happened? Because
no.
I was hurt on his behalf and hurt on behalf of our city because our city actually is in a run amok situation.
Joe Arroyo sucks. He sucks.
He's still hanging around?
He's terrible. Like, I have dear friends that were in a bar that his goons tried to shake up, even though everything was on the up and up because he tried to send a message. And that is like 30th on the unctuous, horrific, offensive things about that Joe Carollo. But it was very obvious he was going to win in a landslide.
Shake down, not a shake up, right?
Shake
down.
I don't know what a shake. I don't know.
I got confused.
Depends how tall the person is.
Yeah. Probably lift them up, shake them. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's what Georgia's defensive line does to offensive linemen. Yeah. Shake them up, throw them in the air, throw them at their quarterback.
Passing windows.
What a joke that Alabama's number two. We'll get to that later.
Total joke.
Super. We'll talk about that once we start doing the show.
And where was Texas A&M? I mean,
that's what I'm asking.
Where was Florida? Where was
well,
Florida?
They've had a couple of bad losses since that really good loss to Alabama.
Let's get back to what you were saying, though, about all of us always being in broadcaster voice and none of us actually knowing when we're on the air or when we're not on the air. So I've seen this happen a lot to Stugatz recently, where Stugatz goes into extra character mode at times where we're clearly not on the air.
Right.
Because he's just trying to spray it all over the place. Just your philosophy is, right, I'm always on air.
Always on, Dan.
Yep. So, you Whittingham, you're so right about this, because any number of segments start with Billy just sort of whispering something into a microphone, and you hardly, I think Billy's the best at this, you hardly ever know whether Billy is talking seriously or is on the show.
I still don't know if this is part of the show.
Right, yeah.
This is not. This, no, we would never air. We would never air this.
But Honest Abe is in?
Yeah.
It is so great to watch him on. Like, it's legitimately the only thing he cares about. Did my nickname, 20 years
it's
in,
important.
Did my nickname get in? But continue your thought, Mike. I interrupted you. You were saying you are taking the unpopular opinion of being on the side of Francis Suarez, who comes from a
no,
father.
No, that didn't make the show. Go ahead. Just start the show over, Dan. 3-2-1, Tyler Herro.
We had Whittingham talking into microphones.
If that does say in the show, by the way, I should apologize to Joe Carollo. I called him a we have bleeped that.
You're apologizing to
bleep that.
You can't do that, Mike. You can't apologize to someone you think is a
Did I ruin your joke, Mike? You were headed there. Well, we're not on air.
We're
so
doing
it doesn't
a bit
matter.
Here, Dan.
When we go on air, you can.
Because it was really going to, like, because I had the perfect setup. I'd like to apologize. It's just
ruined your joke, and I didn't let Whittingham speak.
I was just amazed in following the elections last night in how small the number of votes are.
Oh my God.
That give these people such immense amounts of power. Joe Carollo won 3,500 votes.
It's funny.
And he basically gets to run the city of Miami on 3,500 votes.
Well, it's an off-year election, though.
I know, but still, like, you know, Dan and Billy Corbin have been talking about this, like, this is really important stuff. This is super. As important as 2020 November, well, and yet
or the midterms.
Nobody
that
showed
was
up.
Like President of the United States.
I know, but like, if you live in Miami, this is actually in some ways more consequential than the president, right? Like, the president does a lot of things. Mm. Things that affect your lives happen at local level.
Yeah, I'm gonna
3,500 votes.
I'm gonna shut that down real quick. I've never gotten in a fight over Thanksgiving meals over Joe Carollo. I'm sorry.
No, but I understand what Whittingham is saying.
In terms of actual government policy. Bobo.
No, but these elections have long term effects that people don't realize.
We work on Miami Beach.
You're right.
Alcohol will not be sold on Miami Beach after 2 a.m. because 7,300 people voted for it.
No, they just stole Miami Beach is what happened. If you're listening to what Billy Corbin is saying in the history of this city and the real estate grifts in this city, they're purposely trying to blight this neighborhood so they can have it, so they could build condos and they could change everything that's here. It's why it's so offensive to me what it is that's happening. You're right, Whittingham. Basically, Joe Carollo runs this city with a state militia that could shut down the businesses of Mike's friends that are... that's a great bar, man. And in an area that needs that bar, an area that doesn't have things like that, ball and chain. And
Union Beer Store was the shakedown that I was mentioning before. Ball and Chain had been dark for 2 years because of Joe Carollo's actions and his thugs. Disgusting. Also, why are we trying to build condos on Miami Beach? You'd think real estate developers would have foresight.
I don't understand how any
don't we
of
have
this.
Enough?
I don't understand. I've told you this before. How any of this stuff exists here? We have no chance against a Category 4 hurricane that hits directly. Never mind a 5. There's nothing keeping us from just horror. It's nothing but luck that has made it so that this area here.
But that's the thing, right? if because it's been 30 years since a Category 5 hurricane, we're like, maybe our run of luck will continue.
Go look at what this area looked like when Scarface was made down here. It was just old people, government housing, because you would not dare build something here. And then the land value went crazy. And now I want you to imagine, you guys know what's across the street over there, just that land over there, just all that acreage that right now just serves as park. If they're purposely trying to blight it so they can have it, that's why you have all these local businesses complaining about it. Mango's down here, this nightclub down here, down the street, is one of the biggest in the United States. And what you did, you guys see this video that made an appearance the other day? Mango's was fighting this thing hard because they want to stay in business and obviously have drinking after 2 a.m. But this video that made the rounds right before the vote was somebody stumbling out of Mango's. This was just a night in Miami. I think it was like a Tuesday night. 6'6", 280-pound dude stumbles out of Mango's. And I don't know how they had every camera angle of this, but this is what happened to him as he wandered around. Because he was looking for fights, and he's giant, and he's clearly drunk. And he comes up to one car, and somebody pulls a gun on him. And so he wanders away, and then somebody grabs his head and throws him into a Ferrari. Throws him into a Ferrari someplace else and just walks off. I would hate to be the owner of that Ferrari with a giant Russian dent left by a Russian human being. And then in a pizza joint, the guy gets his head caved in by other people who are fighting him. And he ends up in jail because he instigated all of it. And that's what they're trying ostensibly to keep out of here from 2 to 5 a.m. But now they're going to just fill the streets with that aren't policed with a bunch of those people spilling out of bars who don't want to be leaving bars.
And it's not the old adage, nothing good ever happens after midnight. Like, there has been tragic violence in this stretch of land. The type of violence, like, a father just being shot while he's having a meal with his child. It's 6 o'clock in the evening. That's not a 2 a.m.
in a cafe, in an outdoor cafe.
Yeah. It's, I actually thought about this, like, because Gelber got reelected. And I thought about this when Baker Mayfield pissed me off because he posted on his Instagram stories a chart of Austin police. And the fewer awesome police there have been over the years, the murders have gone up. And I'm like, wow, what a privilege take from someone that ran away and got arrested for it from that very same Austin force to be playing this tired trope out. I think you have a bigger responsibility. Also, you are tremendously lacking in self-awareness, Baker Mayfield. It's always more policing, not better policing. And I think that at the heart of it, Billy was making really good points about this stretch of land. It's so poorly policed, but you realize the intention. Because real estate developers, they don't need as much capital to develop in Miami as they do in other major U.S. cities. That's why it is such a prize.
Why?
Miami and Florida, baby. It's a free-willing state. That's why a lot of people have moved down here. We encourage this type of, and it'll eventually be reckless. People will overextend themselves on real estate projects.
I already have. Like, all those high-rises in downtown and in Brickell, like, they just keep stacking them on top of each other. I remember going to the arena as a kid, and I was like, okay, this is what this area looks like. And you go by it now, it's a completely different place because they just keep stacking high-rises on top of each other. It's like, a quarter of the lights are on. But who is this for?
I thought it was thriving there, no? Like downtown Brickell, that area? No?
They've just started.
I mean, it's jammed with people, but that's not necessarily thriving. They like that just means they're just stacking high-rises on top of each other.
They lack the infrastructure and the planning to make it an enjoyable experience. Any local kind of just rolls their eyes at the notion of having to spend any time in Brickell because it is such a nightmare to get in and out of there.
They've just begun the ruining.
Your event's at Brickell.
Of this place.
Yeah.
on Saturday. Come join us at Blackbird Ordinary on Saturday.
Have drinks with us.
I'm confused as to why you called it my event.
Well, because your name's on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's our event.
It's your company.
We didn't conceptualize it.
It is our event on Saturday.
Okay.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. Dan. Oh, we're not doing it?
Okay. No, I don't okay, no. think so. It's a Levitard Brothers event. That's where, your event, you conceptualize Moss Miami. It's not an insult. Yes, thank you for the royal we. Yes, it is our event. We're all going to be out there. We're all going to be having a good time. But you are the co-founder. It's like how I would refer to Metal Arc Media as your company because you're a co-founder of the company.
Saturday night, we are at Blackbird Ordinary. I don't think that there are any more tickets left for that. I think it's sold out. It's mosslebitard.com if there are any more tickets.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
On it. I did want to get into the Tyler Hero stuff that you were talking about earlier, Stugatz, because I don't know if you're watching this, but the Miami Heat are just simply overwhelming.
Mike Ryan said to me on Monday that the Heat are the best team in the NBA. Now, this is not box score, Stu. I actually watched the game last night. And you and I discussed this on Monday. I think it takes Kyle Lowry actually playing for your team and you watching him on a nightly basis to realize what kind of impact he can have on your team. The way that guy pushes the ball, and not just with his legs, the passes, the full court passes he makes are fantastic. Those four guys, Mike, you might be right. They might be the best team in the NBA. Those four guys were phenomenal last night, and they're just really good basketball players. All four of them.
Dan sent me a sequence last night because I missed the first half. It was electric basketball that was being played in that game between Luka and Tyler Hero. And if you look at Tyler Hero's start to the season, which statistically is the greatest start ever for a player coming off of the bench in NBA history, okay?
157 points in seven games.
Yeah, look at his stats compared to Luka Doncic. Everyone was making fun of him, saying, I believe I belong in that conversation with Trae Young and Luka, and it sounded ridiculous, and to a fairly large degree, it still sounds ridiculous, because Tyler Hero,
it didn't sound ridiculous last night.
It's less and less ridiculous.
Yeah. I think we're all cautiously optimistic, but we're meeting this with skepticism just because last year was so disastrous for Tyler Hero. It felt like such a tremendous step back, even though the stats don't necessarily bear that out. It felt like it was bad.
You were saying it's not ridiculous, but last night at halftime, this was the talking point on the NBA on TNT set. And Charles Barkley still thinks it's ridiculous. And the reason that he gave was that Luka Doncic and Trae Young have to carry their team every night. They are the lead guy. They generate that offense. Tyler Hero comes off the bench. Now, I think coming off the bench is something of a misnomer with him because he's still playing a ton of minutes against starters.
He played more than anybody but Butler last night, did he not? Did he not play 35 minutes last night?
But at the same time, we know who runs the Heat's offense. It's Kyle Lowry and it's Jimmy Butler. Like, right. Tyler Hero is a tremendous scorer,
but he's
not doing the same things that those other two guys are.
But he's averaging 32 minutes per game. I mean, he's coming off the bench.
He's a starter.
Right, he's a starter.
This is a Spoelstra thing where he brings a good player off the bench to kind of generate a second unit, but he's really a starter.
He's going to run away with that sixth man of the year.
I was infuriated at that. We were talking about this yesterday in our chat. He was at plus 240 yesterday, and now he's at plus 140. His odds went down 100 points on the basis of one game.
Why take that bet? The next closest to him to win the sixth man of the year is plus 800. I cannot articulate how insane that is. November 3rd. It's crazy. He is running away with it. It is a foregone conclusion. He also may be an all-star this year, Dan.
I want to step back from this for a second because it is just seven games, and we all pointed out to you that after he led the preseason in scoring, Tyler Hero, that Tyler Hansborough had also led a preseason in scoring. So I do understand if people listening to this think that we are now going full-blown earlier than any time since 2014 to Heat overreaction hyperventilation mode after... But they are good. They're indisputably good. And
they want to blow teams out. They're going into games with the intention of blowing you off the court.
Updated to supplement updated odds, Tyler Hero plus 140. Next closest, Jordan Clarkson plus 1,000 to win the sixth man of the year.
I looked at the numbers. Like, you're right. He's better than Doncic this year. He is. The Beluga whale. It's unbelievable.
So if you're watching last night, and it was a very fast pace, and one of the things that's happening with the Heat is they've gone from the second slowest team in terms of pace, ahead of only Thibs. You know what that... I mean, yeah. His offenses are covered in cement.
Yeah,
you don't even have to look at the stats to assume Thibs is sitting at the top of the lowest pace.
They're good, though.
To now, Miami has something that's intriguing because it's not good like the Knicks are good, where you're like watching them and you're like, oh, the Knicks are good.
Yeah.
But you don't think the Knicks are going to win the championship. No. You don't think that collection of players is good enough to just... Interesting is good enough for the Knicks.
It feels good not to be an embarrassment. It really does.
Watching the Knicks, and I'm not going to take this opportunity to shit on the Knicks. They're a good team. They have to try so hard and execute so well.
Yes.
To be as good as they are now, and in the end, it won't be enough. What the Miami Heat are doing right now, despite being the best defense in the league, seems relatively effortless. They are moving so well. They are communicating on such a higher plane right now.
They look
like they've been playing for decades. This is Spurs championship type ball movement from this offense. And it goes back to Spo, because Kyle Lowry wasn't really an exciting, splashy move for the Miami Heat to make.
Splash.
When you consider their cap room, just like Jimmy Butler, you've improved your team, but have you really? We all kind of like Goran Dragic. And you give Spo a Kyle Lowry and the offense looks totally different.
Mm-hmm. They haven't had one. I can't remember. I mean, since LeBron, really. But a point guard that is actually like Goran Dragic, people think of him as a point guard because he got to 5 assists a game. He's not a point guard in the way that he's actually seeing the floor and thinking about how to get his teammates in the best position to score. He's a drive and kick guy who can get you 5 assists a game. But Kyle Lowry actually runs an offense, and you can see the difference in actually having a point guard. And when Dragic was out last season, you saw a complete and utter absence of someone to run an offense. And Kyle Lowry, there's a reason why they tweeted out QB1. Now, the Heat are taking unnecessary pot shots at the Dolphins and the Hurricanes by calling him QB1. But there's a reason why they call him that.
He's been fantastic. He's a perfect fit for this team. Just quickly on the Knicks, before the Knicks fans come after you, Dan, they are averaging over 115 points per game. We're 7 games in, well, but it's 115 per game.
The Knicks are 28th in the league in pace, you guys. There's a reason why you say that.
I'm just saying they're averaging over 115 points per game. That's what the Heat are averaging.
But it goes back to my point, which is if you play that slow a pace, you're not going to get as many opportunities to score that many points. They have to execute at such a high level.
And they are. They're 4th in the league in offensive rating.
Yes.
My point in bringing up the Knicks was just to tell you there are certain teams in the league that you know are good, but not good enough.
Correct.
My only point where you're like, I respect that they're pretty good, and also they have no chance to win the championship.
Agreed.
What I'm watching with the Heat that's different, and I feel like a moron already with a small sample, I got it really wrong on the difference between Kyle Lowry and Goran Dragic. And it's not about either one of them as a player, but when you're talking about this pace and the thing that has Whittingham and Mike and the Miami Heat organization and the fan base excited is that you have this group of things. Oh, wait, that's best defense in the league kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
That's best ball movement in the league kind of good. That's a whole bunch of exciting, fast pace. Both those teams were trying to go fast last night, and only one of them could. Luka was drowning on the defensive end when he'd go into the Heat.
Right.
It took a lot of effort. And then when he had to backpedal and get back, they were getting torched back there. And I want to attack what it is that Whittingham is saying here about it is true that Tyler Hero has a different set of responsibilities than Trae Young and Luka Doncic. But those are 4 and 5 and 6 seeds with those guys as the lead guy, which maybe is what the Heat would be if Tyler Hero was the lead guy.
Mm-hmm.
But when one of those kinds of guys, like I know you're saying is ridiculous, but is taking 20 shots a game and playing your minutes and is a scoring machine. And furthermore, this one's not small, Stugatz, because this I want to go through with you. So Tyler Hero goes from the Jack Harlow thing and Instagram famous and everybody's watching his every move and he's surrounded by temptation. And Jimmy Butler has had problems in Chicago with the young players. And he ruined Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins with the young players. And God knows what his relationship was with Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. And last year it was said that Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler were not good. If Tyler Hero is this for Jimmy Butler, like,
they'll be great. Yes.
But if
they'll be fine.
If Jimmy Butler,
his title.
Jimmy Butler gets to play the game this way. This is the way Jimmy Butler would like to play. He doesn't want to be.
He doesn't have to be.
Luka and yes. Trey and probably can't be.
And it's giving us a better version of Jimmy Butler because he doesn't feel like he has to carry the load offensively and he's playing free and he's an MVP candidate.
The guy we're kind of leaving out here in this particular discussion. Because he did it like 5 times last night, especially late, and Luka was getting frustrated.
Bam.
Is Bam. He backs Luka down, Larry just throws the ball in, and Bam turns around and drops it in the bucket, and Luka gets frustrated, and he should be, because he's like, hey, I'm out here by myself, and they got 4 guys.
We're talking about futures and all that. I locked in Bam Adebayo, Defensive Player of the Year. Hope to God they don't give it to Rudy Gobert this year just because he's tall again. But knowing how these voters vote on it, they may just end up giving it to Ben Simmons, just sight unseen. Bam Adebayo is as unique a defender in the league right now.
He's great.
That you can sack him up against anybody.
Are you intrigued, Mike, by the next stretch of games here? Because it's Boston, Utah, Denver, L.A., the Clippers, and then Utah again.
We're going to do something on our YouTube page post that L.A. game because these are teams that are not necessarily
playing well. But that's a tough stretch,
like,
though.
Like Boston, I don't know what's going on there. It's very confusing how Brad Stevens is still kind of around, but he's not coaching, and now you have Brad Stevens, the executive? Huh? They're going to be on the back end of a back-to-back. They're playing at Orlando tonight, and Tyler Hero feasts off them. Even when he's not playing well in a season, he always owns Marcus Smart for whatever reason. Miami Heat are the best team in basketball right now. And if I had to pick a team that's going to be hoisting the Larry O'Brien at the end of the year, I'd pick the Miami Heat.
I guess I'm interested within that stretch is the home and home with Utah. Like Utah appears to be really, really good.
Yeah, and those games delivered. And I was kind of just reveling in how absurd the first 7 games have been and the preseason has been for Tyler Hero. But given what we've seen with the rule changes and now James Harden doesn't necessarily seem like it's the same player, do you think Brooklyn would trade James Harden for Tyler Hero?
That's funny. That is a... Billy, are you... is Skeptical Billy behind that mask anywhere? I don't know how it is, because this must be annoying to the audience, hearing a Heat fan...
They're the best team in the NBA.
Get it out while you can.
I'm just hoping they don't get injured. If they stay healthy, they will be a championship contender.
But Billy is saying discuss it while they're the best team in the NBA, right? Because they might not be
Have
soon.
Have fun,
right?
Yeah. Why not? Knock yourselves out.
They lost to Indiana. Bam didn't play in that game, or Kyle
didn't.
All right.
They went to OT in that game, and they ended up losing by double digits in a game that went to OT. But I think right now the only thing... From what we've seen, the only thing that can really sidetrack this season is injury, right? We believe that this team is good. Yes, we believe in the style of offense that they're playing. We know that that defense is sustainable. These are players of defensive repute, and we know that the coach knows how to coach defense. It may not be this great throughout the end of the year. There's certainly no way their point differential stays at what it's at right now. They'd be one of the greatest teams in NBA history if that's the case. But this isn't fool's gold, right?
They've won all their games by double. They've won all their games by double digits, and they've gone on the road and won all their games by double digits. Other than the Indiana game,
they're plus 17.
It's not even that though. That's a small sample. It's all of it is a small sample. But you know their defense is good, and you know their offense is good. Like we don't have to clutter it. You know their rebounding is good because that's been it. Bam now the way that they're playing makes it so that Bam is gobbling up everything. He's going to be like a 20-14 guy.
But it's can Kyle Lowry stay healthy? That's important. And can Tyler Hero continue to play like this the entire season? We'll see.
But why couldn't he is what I'm saying. If they're going to allow...
I think he can.
Because it's... it's a power cord is thrown on the court when he's out there, and they're playing at that kind of pace. Like, you went last night from made basket by Luka on a Euro step. Tyler takes the inbound, takes it all the way down the court and scores. Then Luka shoots again, and they're saying, well, he'd check. You got to let Luka keep shooting because he's on fire. And then Tyler grabs the ball and shoots a three in his face, and then they go to timeout, and you're watching an exciting basketball team that's swamping teams and players you know to be good on the road. And while it's a small sample, you're seeing something that makes Reggie Miller say, you guys heard this, right? Reggie Miller, Miami deserves all of the mockery it gets for the number of banners it puts in its rafters. They put the gold medalists in the rafters. But Reggie Miller said, because it's noticeable on Bam, you wanted him to be more aggressive. Mike Ryan was out on Bam during the postseason last year.
So much.
And he is now, because you're looking at him and you're like, hey, you're more athletic than anyone out there.
You're yes. good. You know how to shoot.
By a lot.
You're good.
Lot.
That's a pretty athletic sport. Bam, don't be more athletic than them.
There was a time where Luka fouled him because he had no choice, and Luka was just staring at him on the foul line. He was like, "But my God, but, this yeah, guy's
I'm
so, impressive.
I'm so a little worried. I don't know, because that was so remarkable to watch last year, how Budenholzer just checked Bam Adebayo, that I kind of need to see it in the playoffs to make sure that he's totally over it. But you're so good, Bam Adebayo. Just so believe good. In yourself.
Yes. But Reggie Miller says, of those banners, he says, Bam Adebayo is a different player because he played in those Olympics. Now, it sounds ridiculous to me. I'm like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. I don't agree with it. I'm not even sure what he's talking about.
Right.
But Bam does look like a different player.
He does, yes.
I don't think it has anything to do with those Olympics, but it might have something
Maybe
to do with being embarrassed
shape,
in the first
keeps,
round against yes. Milwaukee.
It's not the cardio that he gets.
I don't know, Mike. It seems ridiculous.
It's the scrimmages. It's right. Greg Popovich starting you at center and telling you to go for it, and you can't back down there because you want to play for your Olympics, and it's not the same situation, and it's iron sharpens iron. You're going against not the very best, because this Olympic roster wasn't exactly the very best, but it is a confidence builder, and this was a player that was lacking in confidence, I felt, when they got swept by Milwaukee.
So we're talking about like the big four, but Mike and I talked about this on Monday. It's why we get excited on deadline day and small little deals and trades, because they've made some great acquisitions. The acquisition of Dwayne Dedmon, that guy has been fantastic for the Heat. I
he
love Dedmon.
You know, he
I
has
really
been.
Do.
The Heat find those guys, and yes, Heat fans will fall in love with him, but we will annoy the holy hell out of what little remains of our audience if we now lapse into Stugatz's Dwayne Dedmon
talk. I love
talk.
Dedmon. You need that off today. The bench. Some toughness.
We can't talk our shit today. It's really good. We
I'm
were
just
in the finals
saying,
a year ago, guys. Like
little PJ Tucker.
I'm excited about Kyle Lowry because, yeah, we got it wrong with Goran Dragic and Kyle Lowry. Of course we would. They made it to an NBA Finals with Goran Dragic at point guard when he was, during certain series, their best player in that march towards the finals. Couldn't foresee this. I obviously elevated Goran Dragic. Kyle Lowry is obviously a better player with a unique skill set. And dude is dripping wet from the field. Like, he was 6-for-9 from three-pointer. This is a guy that struggled with his confidence from downtown.
But he doesn't have to be a one either, to my point.
Correct.
On Luka and he doesn't have to be the one. Like, I don't know how this works, where I asked you yesterday, Mike, yesterday, before that game, do you want what the Heat have right now, or do you want LeBron? Because the Lakers look old.
LeBron is the, in terms of per, Tyler Hero is just below, one slot behind LeBron James right now. And
they're 5-3. Guys.
That's actually kind of a trick that I'm playing on the audience, because right. Tyler Hero, considering how we've talked about him, you'd think he'd be like top 10 in PER. No, he's in the 40s. LeBron's 40 in the 40s too.
You stick around for the UD minutes? Two of them. Two glorious minutes.
Glorious. He took Udonis a three. Haslam
he took a three. I saw a tweet. It was exciting, though.
I saw a tweet once he dove for a loose ball.
Oh, it was great.
You can keep your developmental prospect. Yes, you can't teach this.
So wait a minute. You're
it's
gonna,
a 20-point game. He's diving all over the court.
You're going to go from Deadman to Haslam. What is Stugatz doing? Stugatz is...
Markieff Morris.
Stugatz is all of a sudden...
I'm a Heat fan.
I'm a Heat fan.
Thinking about season tickets again.
Good squad. I like this team.
Billy, are you sad because the Braves won the title? Is that what's happening
back
there?
Sad? You know, I'm happy for certain people that I like that are Braves fans. Juju Gotti, Mayor Matt, Randy Scott, L. Duncan. I'm happy for them. I'm happier that Ronald Acuna Jr. is going to have a ring that he did nothing for. And hopefully that'll be that.
I got a stat of the day, speaking of rings that you did nothing for, because I've got what I think is a pretty good stat of the day for you here.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day. Start of the day, start of the day, it is the start of the day.
This is from Peter Baugh on Twitter. Terrence Gore, who played zero regular season games and one postseason game, now has 3 World Series rings in 102 career games.
Wow.
How do you win the title with Acuna out? Do you realize the odds, Billy? Did you read some of
the odds? Well, they're good. The Braves are good, Dave. And they traded like for half of their team at the deadline.
They won this series at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
They really did.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the homers were hit by the 4 guys they obtained at the trade deadline.
Doobie.
Yeah.
2 former Marlins were in the World Series against each other. They were on the Marlins this year together. Yimmy was pitching against Duvall. Who would have thought, huh? Back in February, 2 Marlins in the series.
Back in February, who would have thought at the All-Star break? You saw the odds on the Braves, Stugatz. The All-Star break, the chances of the Braves winning the World Series from the All-Star break are you having 3 die in your hand, rolling them, and coming up all sixes. That's what the odds were,
right,
of the Atlanta Braves winning the World Series. The Dodgers were a good deal better than them. The Giants were a good deal better than them.
The Mets were better than them.
Well,
the Mets were better than them.
At one time they were.
The first half of the season.
5.5
They were a fraud team the whole year.
The Mets.
They had a 5.5 game lead in the East.
By the way, I know the answer to this, but just for those at home who don't, what are the odds of rolling 3 die and having it all land on 6?
Isn't it 0.3%?
I have no idea. I mean, I know, but for those who don't know, what are those odds?
Isn't it 0.3%?
Sure.
If you say so.
Yeah. Also, it could be like rolling it in any number, right? Like if it was all 2s, it'd be the same as all 6s.
I think they all have the same percentage. Mm. I mean, I'm not a math major, but.
Me neither.
Right.
How does that work on die, by the way? Do you guys know how die work? I don't. Like if there's 6 holes on a die, you would think that it would have to weigh the same as one with just 1 hole, right? So are the holes dug deeper? Because if not, the weight you'd think would throw off the die, would it not?
You're asking questions that I do not have the answer to.
I don't have any level of expertise in this
who
apartment.
Knows die?
The probability,
Whitty, do you know about die?
The like probability of rolling day. 3 dice is 136. I don't know what that means. Like... 3 dice, same number, 136. It might be different for 3 sixes.
The odds of rolling a 6 3 times are 1 in 216, which is 0.463%.
What's the 136 thing I just did?
I have no idea.
That's twice.
Oh.
Mm. And what about, like, how deep are the holes?
That's a good question. See, you keep asking the question, what you're asking basically is the weight of each side of the die.
It would have to be the same, right?
And so can you make 6 smaller holes in it that weigh less or weigh the same amount as 1 hole?
And then you fill it with paint and it's a whole thing. Well, no pun intended, but literally a whole thing.
I don't have the answer to your questions. Perhaps that
this is what plagues my mind, just so you get like a little insight into it.
I just asked you about the World Series, and I was talking about the how uncommon it is to
those
win.
Damn Astros lost again, huh? Isn't that great? It's stupid watch. Correa. God. I should like Correa because I got my wife's wedding ring at the same jeweler that gave Alex Correa his engagement ring.
You should like him for that reason.
Well, yeah, because there was a picture on the wall.
Connection there.
I also got my engagement ring from Flacco's ring guy.
Ooh, weird. Joe Flacco's ring guy?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, in Baltimore.
Really?
It's a whole thing.
How?
Yeah. Are you sure it wasn't just a guy who goes by Flacco in Miami?
Oh, no.
There's a lot of those.
No. This guy was on Antiques Roadshow.
There are so many of those. Flaccos and Gordos. Yes, there are so many of those. Are you sure?
None of the diamonds are real.
I think Joe Flacco is in a bigger tax bracket than you are.
Oh, yeah. No. This guy... For sure. This is the worst ring he's ever sold. I shouldn't say that because maybe my wife's This is probably the least expensive ring he's ever sold. In fact, when I gave it to him, he gave it to me in one of those little plastic balls that you put the 25 cents in the machine and you turn it and it came like that. There wasn't even a box.
Wow, man.
Like a Publix?
Yeah.
No.
It's not true.
I refuse to believe
that. You're making that up.
I believe Flacco's ring guy has a bit more respect for you.
For your love.
For your engagement love. Ring. And the pomp and circumstance of it all.
A little plastic bubble.
And a rattle in a plastic bubble. All right, we'll start the local hour in 3 seconds.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.